32 men enter, but only one can be named champion. These men have faces for radio, but do they have the chin to take a punch?
You want me to hit you?
That's right.
What, like in the face?
Surprise me.
This is so stupid.
Anyone can give a hot take. Everyone has an opinion, but can they fight?
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
It's time for the Killer Bees Fight Club. Let's get ready to...
Okay, that's Michael Buffer's lawyers. I'm not going to say the line, Michael Buffer lawyers. I'm not going to say the line. You're so strong.
Jumps yesterday in the Killer Bees Fight Club tournament, the first of which was the final first-round matchup featuring The Show, the co-host of the Baytown Batty, and Brad Gilmore, co-host of Hall of Fame with Booker T. The Show won this pretty convincingly over Brad Gilmore. I think the voters got it wrong again, guys. The Show beat Brad Gilmore 60% to 40%. I think if you get a real fight between those two, I don't think it goes the same way.
They definitely got it wrong. Yeah, no. Brad Gilmore, fan of the Sweet Science, obviously training through osmosis, I think, as Joel pointed out yesterday with Booker T. I think Brad Gilmore, real situation, would take this fight easily.
I also think that a lot, you know, they sound alike. Maybe they thought that it was the Baytown Batty doing the fight, too.
Wait, you think Clint and Ron sound alike?
If you listen to them at all, I think they sound a lot alike.
See, I haven't listened to him since I left for mental health reasons, but maybe he's adapted his voice to sound like Clint, but I didn't hear it when I was there.
Osmosis.
Yeah, osmosis. There you go.
The second round matchup, the first second round matchup in the Palillo region featured our friend Joe George going toe-to-toe with Adam Clanton, and Clanton blew Joe out. Clanton beating Joe George 71% to 29%.
Ouch.
Absolute blowout. Joe didn't stand a chance. It was over before they showed up. It was over before he stepped into the ring.
Man,
Joe
George.
Got this one right, though.
I think so.
Yeah,
I think so.
I don't know.
I mean,
who's Joe beating in a fight? Let's be honest.
Yeah, I think Joe, right.
If Joe gets stocky and takes a guy to the ground, I think Joe can win.
No, Joe is working out now. He's got a sponsorship at a gym, so maybe that...
That doesn't mean he's working out, by the way.
Oh, okay.
That means he shows up.
That is the opinion of Joel Blank. But I think he got a favorable first-round matchup against Figgy Fig, the only guy that was the same size of him, but... Most scenarios, Joe's not winning that fight.
Yeah, you and Joe got favorable matchups
come on.
In the first round. The final fight yesterday
here.
Was in the Palillo region facing the Baytown Batty, Clint Sterner, against Sports MT, Matt Thomas. This one was closer than Joe George Adam Clanton. That's where I feel the audience went wrong. But Clint advances over Matt 65% to 35%. So the Baytown Batty is elite as he's on to the Elite Eight. Two matchups today. Go ahead, Blinkers.
Well, they got it right. You never underestimate what begging can do to make a very unfair fight look fair.
Okay. The first matchup we have today in the Cooper region. Both matchups come in the Cooper region. Try to get elite. First one featuring Booker T against John Lopez, the everyman man, the outdoor man, John Lopez. Who's arguing for who here, Brian?
Jeremy, since you got ousted by John Lopez this last round, I'm going to have you argue for the everyman, the man's man, John Lopez, whereas Joel will argue for Booker T. Five-time World Heavyweight Champion.
That's not what I expected. It's very funny, though. Is there something wrong with this connection? Jeremy, are you
No, you're
fighting
up.
For
you're Joe. You're going first.
Oh, I thought you were going first.
No, you've been going first every
age,
time.
Age before beauty.
Oh, I actually thought your response for fighting for Lopez with silence would have been fantastic, because I think that's the only way that Booker T is in any
that,
kind of fight
could,
at all.
That could have worked,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I think the five-time is going to, even if he took this fight for granted, he could probably win with his eyes closed. Booker T is not even going to have to dig that far into his bag to understand that there's beauty before age. There's ring experience versus sauce. There's just
literal sauce.
Yeah, seriously. This is black and white, and I don't think Lopez is still writing newspapers.
I think racist.
It's a newspaper comment. It's a newspaper comment. Black and white like newspaper. Easy. But it is going to be easy. Booker T, the five-time, it's going to literally drop the hammer. It's not going to last long. It's not going to be a quick. It's going to be a quick fight. I think Booker T in a landslide.
The
Lopez has two opportunities to win this fight. There's two different strategies that he can employ, and maybe it's going to take both for him to pull off the upset. The first one's the rope-a-dope. It's to just get along the ropes, let Booker T go to town, try to survive it the best he can, and then when Booker T's gassed out, that's where Lopez can really make his mark in this fight and hope for a surprise victory in the later rounds after the rope-a-dope. The second one is Lopez is an avid fisherman, as we all know. Yeah. I think he has a fishing podcast, in fact. He can do the whole bait and lure with Booker T. I just invented that technique, but if anybody can come up with it, it's a fisherman.
The bait and lure?
He baits Booker T right into his sweet spot, clocks him across the face, and the everyman, the outdoorsman, pulls off the upset of the Killer Bee tournament.
Jeremy, I like the argument. It was well put together, and I do think John Lopez, of any man his age, would have the best chance against Booker T. But this is Booker T. This is five-time. Booker T takes this one, no contest. It's a referee stoppage. Booker T moves on to the final four.
5044 says Booker T is a 6-time world champion, according to him on the intro to his show, and 2-time Hall of
Famer.
Well, that
he's
is
gone back and forth on that.
No, I think it's right, but the thing that
it is right,
catchy and popular was the five-time, where he looks at his hand and his five fingers. All right, the second matchup is a sexy matchup in the Killer Bee Fight Club bracket. I think it's a better matchup than a Sweet 16 matchup deserves. Battle to the Elite Eight between Sean Bajani and Paul Gallant.
Ooh,
this is a main event of today's matches.
I'd pay to watch this one.
I would too. I think this would be a good. This would be a battle royal.
Yeah. These both guys in great shape. Both guys, I think, could throw down if need be. I will go ahead and give. Let's go Coog and Coog here. So Jeremy will go ahead and give the case for Sean Bajani. Joel, you'll go first and give the case for Paul Gallant.
Sean's
tougher. Sean's a tougher guy, and the toughest guy wins in most fights. He's a little bit smaller, which would mean that he's a little bit quicker, which is good. A little more compact whenever you're trying to land those jabs. It's good. He's faster, I think. I think Sean's a little, maybe not point A to point B, but he's certainly quicker side to side. Quickness plays more in the sweet science. Bajani has big muscles, so that helps with his power. I think Sean Bajani has the endurance because I don't think he parties as much as Paul, so his conditioning's a little bit better than Gallant is these days. I think Sean Bajani wins a tight one between these two.
Well, I couldn't disagree more with your breakdown there, because Paulie gets out of bed, as he told us, with an app that gets him doing squats and stairs and
true.
Other things to make sure that he doesn't miss too much of the day and get sleepy, because he needs to take advantage of every single day. He does that in every single moment. We know he's not going to lack self-confidence. He's coming into the ring thinking he's going to win this one from the minute that we hear the ding in the first bell, and he's going to go to town. He's going to use the free safety skills. He's going to go in and maybe even headbutt if he has to, but he's going to come in and he's going to hit ferociously. And I don't think that there's that much of a difference in quickness, but I definitely think Paul is stronger than Sean Bajani. He's going to be able to go toe-to-toe. He's also going to be able to move around the ring. And at the end of the day, Paulie is a workout fiend, because we know so because he tells us every day on the show. He's in the gym all the time, and he's constantly honing in on his strength and his speed. Sean Bajani's a little smaller. I think Paulie's going to actually use some ground game, too. I think Paulie's easily going to win this.
A lot of words to say very little.
Not true.
This is very tough. I think it's a very even matchup, probably the most even matchup we've had so far in this bracket. So I don't think there's a clear runaway winner. I do have one concern about Paul. It's, you know, will Paul pregame? Paul likes to have fun. We know he got he had a little bit at the Nickelback concert at the rodeo a little bit. So if he comes into this maybe not the right state of mind, Bajani, I think, might have a chance. But Bajani's too nice, and Paul has the rage. He has the fire.
Do you think
Paul Gallant
a Nickelback
will win this
concert? Paul's not trying to lose the Nickelback concert, but if his ego would never let him lose a fight, so he wouldn't pregame.
I know I'm picking. Well, I still have a little doubt about that.
I don't think he would pregame.
I think there's a shot here for Bajani. Again, very close matchup. If Paul maybe pregames too much, comes in, has partied a little bit, maybe that affects his performance. But Sean Bajani, overall, I think his niceness plays against him. Paul's got the rage. I'll go Paul Gallant at 9 in a very close fight.
Did y'all say that Paul Gallant went to a Nickelback concert?
He did.
Oh,
the rodeo.
He loves Nickelback.
Yeah, the rodeo.
Yeah.
Then I rest my case.
Yeah, that's honestly a good argument.
Stronger
against
Paul. Than heavy metal?
It's a good argument against Paul.
How many wins do the Rockets need to pass the Warriors? looking at the Warriors' remaining schedule, looking at the Rockets' remaining schedule, what do the Rockets need to get to, and is that number attainable? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, right now before we go to the break, look, we've got NCAA basketball tonight. We've got NBA basketball we're about to talk about with your Rockets. We've got so much going on with baseball season starting. You need a one-stop shop where you can put money down and you can enjoy the games even more. That's why I always talk about MyBookie.ag. They've always got promotions going on that allow you to get more so you can bet and you can have more money in your account, more chances to win because there's more games to bet on. That's why you go to MyBookie.ag and always use the promo code BET975. It's our promo code. We tell you to use it because it benefits you. Put 200 in your account, you got 300 to play instantly, and therefore you got more chances to win big as you watch sports and watch the games that you want to tune into. Maybe you don't have teams that you really are enjoying, but you want to make the game interesting. You do it with mybookie.ag. And then when there's not games going on, and they got all the sports, they've got golf and UFC, they've got all the different things that you like to bet on, including all the college basketball and all the NBA and MLB. But they also have live dealers standing by with casino games for games like blackjack and poker and so much more. You need to check them out, and you always need to remember our promo code BET975. Go to mybookie.ag right now. I always tell you, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, with the only place I tell you to do it. It's mybookie.ag. Use our promo code BET975.
You're back with the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Rose Hill Beer Garden in Cypress.
This is like the anthem to my high school prom right here. This song was very popular back in my high school days.
Loyal Rose Hill Houston fan.
What's that?
Loyal Houston fan, 50 Cent.
He's got a lot of allegiances, doesn't he?
Caught a lot of heat on the internet for that because he was a Yankee fan growing up. Yankee fans were none too happy with him yelling play ball yesterday.
That's funny. I think the two most popular songs whenever I was like at prom was this one and then, I can't remember the other one. Whatever. Not important. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, the boys at Rose Hill Beer Garden in Cypress. Fantastic beer. Also voted the number one music venue in Cypress with live music every Thursday through Saturday. Get there for great drinks, great music. They have 8 local food trucks. That's it. That's fantastic. That's outstanding. Get there. Get there. It's a lot of fun. It's also family friendly, so keep that in mind, too. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Rockets are trying to chase the Golden State Warriors. They're a game back, 10 games left to play. How many wins do the Rockets need to pass the Warriors in order to make the playoffs? What do you think, Blankers?
Man, I'm looking at their final schedule, and it's not easy. I mean, the game tonight is one that's winnable for them, but depending on seeds and how important games are as teams go down the stretch, that last game against the Clippers is why I say that, because there may be a chance L.A. rests everybody. They don't need that game. But other than that, I mean, there's a lot of teams fighting for playoff position to where, I mean, I think Golden State obviously is they're veteran. They're savvy. They've been there. They've done that. They're going to do everything in their power to hang on to the lead. I think that you got to win 6 of your final 10 games, and I don't know. I don't know if they can do that.
I think it's more than that. I think the Rockets need to win 8. I have Golden State, and I feel like I'm being a little bit. Maybe it's a bit of like a little bit with a homer slant on this too. Golden State with 10 left to play. I have them going 6-4 in their last 10. Like I have them winning at Charlotte, winning at San Antonio, losing against Dallas. I'm going to be, for the sake of the conversation, a homer here and say the Rockets win at home against Golden State. So that's a loss for Golden State and then a loss at Dallas. But after that, it eases up. Home versus Utah, that's a win. At the Lakers, hopefully the Lakers are resting people, but they're playing for something too. So I have them losing at the Lakers, win at Portland, win versus New Orleans, win versus Utah. So that's 6-4. That gets them to 44-38 at the end of the year. Golden State has the tiebreaker over the Rockets. They will play 3 times this year. Golden State has already won the first 2. So even if the Rockets beat Golden State in the game that's coming up, I believe, next Wednesday, which is about as much a win as you can have. Maybe I'm wrong on the date there.
Thursday.
Thursday, there you go. So the Rock, yep. that's as much to win a game as you have to have in the regular season. But even if you win that game, Golden State still has the tiebreaker on you. So you have to pass Golden State in the standings. If I have Golden State going 44-38, 6-4 in their final 10 games, that means the Rockets have to win 8 games to pass Golden State and get to 45 wins. And that means they can only lose 2 of those, and you play at Utah. Utah's not very good, but it's a difficult place to play. You play Dallas at home. Good that you have the home court, but Dallas is playing really good. Winners of 9 of their last 10 and have won 5 in a row. At Minnesota, that's a tough one. They're the second-best team in the Western Conference. Home versus Golden State, already talked about that. Home versus Miami, like that's a team that's capable of beating you, even though it's at home. You have to play at Dallas. Orlando at home should be a win. And while you go on a West Coast trip where they're all winnable games, it's 3 road games on the West Coast. Like, it's tough to go 3-0 there at Utah, at Portland, at the Clippers. So I think it's daunting for the Rockets. Maybe you can get some more help with these other, you know, teams that aren't very good that Golden State has left on their schedule. I just don't see how Golden State goes worse than 6-4, which means that you have to go 8-2 in your final 10 with a pretty tough schedule on your final team.
It's tough, and look, I think the key, obviously, from the jump is, regardless of who has the series won already for the season between Golden State and Houston, it's a double whammy if you lose that Golden State game. Then it's really, really tough to imagine a scenario where you win. But just assuming, like you do, for the sake of the conversation, they beat Golden State. Minnesota's trying to get the one seed. So Minnesota has a lot to play for, and that game is Tuesday night next week, so it's not too far down the road where Minnesota maybe has their fate sealed. Dallas trying to fight their way up the standings. So those two games against the Mavs are going to mean something. Miami doing the same in the East. You know Golden State's going to be tough. And I don't think Orlando is a cakewalk win, because Orlando is a top four-ish team in the East that they're trying to fight for at positioning in the playoffs as well. That schedule is brutal to me. I mean, look, I love the way they're playing, and I just think that the schedule and you know, kind of the situation that you played yourself into was great to this point, but those final 10 games are not going to be easy.
I hate, because, like, Utah, Portland, whatever, but the fact that they're on the road back-to-back, like, it's really tough to go 3-0 in that stretch, and you might have to go at least 3-0. You have Dallas twice, with one of them being on the road. That's not favorable. I mean, if you lose to Golden State, it's done. Like, if you lose to Golden State, you have no chance. You beat Golden State, you have hope, but you might have to, like, other than like losing at Dallas, you're probably going to have to win the rest of your games. So you're going to have to win one or two that you're not expected to win, that you're probably not going to be favored. And Golden State's probably going to have to lose one or two where they are favored. And that includes you beating Golden State. I'd rather have Golden State's schedule here than the Houston Rockets.
Oh, for sure. And I think not only that, Jeremy, you got to handle your business. You can't look past Portland. You can't look past teams you're supposed to beat, because there aren't that many on the schedule. And then, like I said, that last game of the regular season, you got to hope that the Clippers have already sealed their fate of where they're going to play, and they rest Kawhi and Harden and George and just say, we're good, we're playing for the postseason now, and maybe you catch an easy win there. Because there's not many easy wins. You're supposed to beat Utah twice in Portland. Utah's playing better. They got young talent, too. Portland, the same way, came at you and made it a game when you were in Portland the last time. I that schedule is daunting for them.
Yeah, it would take something special, I think, for the Rockets in the final 10, but these last 10 have been special for the Rockets, so I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think there is a chance that the Clippers could have already, like, you know, been bit, like, locked into their spot. It's just, you can't predict that right now, because right now it's a half-game lead over the Pelicans for the fourth spot in the West. They will certainly want to have home court advantage, but maybe they already have it locked up before that final game. We have no idea. There is no way to predict that. So it'll be fun. That game against Golden State, to me, is an absolute must-win. If you don't win that game, you're going to need a miracle in order to jump Golden State.
We're both on the same page. Yeah, we're both on the same page. That the kicker to whatever you're hoping to have play itself out in those last 10 games is all predicated on you handling your business against the team you're trying to catch at home. Because if you lose it, the two-game swing is just devastating.
45 wins is what I have. That's what I think the Rockets need to get to. Any objection from either one of you?
No, not from me. And the fact that we're sitting here discussing the possibilities of a Rockets team this year winning 45 games is absolutely amazing to me. And it gives credit to every guy on that roster, and it starts with Udoka. But when you look at a team that we were kicking around the mid-30s in terms of a win total, and now looking at where they sit and how they got there, it's been an impressive win of a year, no matter if they get in or not.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. How many wins do you think the Rockets need to get to jump Golden State to get into that play-in? Everybody's favorite game. Who said it? Brian gives us five quotes that were said by ESPN 97.5 personalities throughout the week, and then Blankers and I guess who said it. Killer Bees live from Rose Hill Beer Garden in Cyprus on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we get to who said it, I'm going to tell you who said it. It's me that tells you if you're a golf fan to get to X Golf and Katy. X Golf and Katy, best golf simulators I've ever seen. And they are exclusive to X Golf. They are absolutely fantastic. They're the only ones in the area. If you're a golfer, you got to check them out. Because even the putting, I kid you not, the putting is accurate. You can work on your game. You can use your own golf balls that you use on the course, put them in the simulator, take them out when you're done, so you have the absolute right feel of every shot from your putts to your chips to all your different irons and woods. You can play 50 different courses around the world, but you can also work on your game like it's a driving range. If the weather's bad, you guys lose a tee time. Call over to X Golf and reserve one of the bays. Your tee time is not only going to be a fun experience for you with real golf simulation, but the bottom line is you're going to play in a quarter of the time. Yeah, you could finish a full 18 holes because you're not driving or walking to your ball and taking all that extra time. You can play a full 18 holes in about 90 minutes or less. It's absolutely fantastic. And, oh, by the way, did I mention it's also a great sports bar. Tons of TVs to watch the games. Lots of great food and beverage. And the combo platter makes it even more of a must-go-to entertainment experience. You go there once, you're going to go there a lot, especially if you're a golf fan. But now they've got promotions coming up where you can rent one of the bays for the Masters. It's phenomenal. You get the Masters food included. You get it for the entire day on the Sunday of Masters Sunday, and you can experience the Masters in a different way that's going to be totally off the charts. Check them out today. Check out X Golf Katy online.
It's now time for super producer Brian McDonald, a.k.a. TreeMac.
I'm Groot.
To do his best to stump Joel and Jeremy.
Well, I'm stumped.
It's everyone's favorite segment.
Because everyone loves it.
Yeah, everyone loves it.
I know.
Right, exactly.
Yes. Yes.
Who said it?
He said it. He said it.
With the Killer Bees.
That is right. It is everybody's favorite segment. It is Who Said It, where Brian reads us five quotes said by ESPN 97.5 personalities, and then the Killer Bees, they guess who said it. The name's in the title. All right, Brian, why don't you get us started? What is quote number one?
All right, quote number one. You know Saudi Arabia comes up. When I think women's rights, who's a staunch supporter of women's rights? And I think you know Saudi Arabia actually should be mentioned.
I think the bench is willing to go here. I think Dell's willing-ish, maybe, and Paul's
yeah,
willing.
Yeah, maybe.
So those are the
right. Joe's out.
Three and
yep.
a half. Yeah, Joe's out. I guess he. Yeah, that's right. He's the only one I eliminated.
Yep.
I tend to lean towards the bench.
Yeah, but because Dell was a part of it for so long, and he's up to speed on countries, politics, things like that. I think it's. I wouldn't rule out. Dell.
Okay.
Now we know which way Granato's going. If it was John, he would ruffle feathers and just throw out whatever. But do we think John is dialed in that much on Saudi Arabia?
I think you'd have to be. It's pretty. I think you'd have to have blinders on to not realize that, though, right?
Yeah.
Probably. Now, are John and Lance on their best behavior over what happened a couple of weeks ago?
No. No, because they still were okay. Pushing the envelope a little bit this morning and trying to push it off on other people. But, yeah, I don't think it's deterred them in any way, shape, or form.
Okay. I don't know. I will eliminate Joe, and that's about as far as I'm willing to go.
Joe's trying to read me.
I am, like, glaring at Brian right now with every name that you throw out, just seeing if even his pupils move a little bit, like, if he's thinking about it. Do you have a lean?
I have a lean that it's not Joe.
Well, I do too. Immediately when I heard it.
You want it again?
Yeah, please.
You know Saudi Arabia comes up. When I think women's rights, who's a staunch supporter of women's rights? And I think you know Saudi Arabia actually should probably be mentioned.
I feel like Paul might go like a little bit more vernacularly. Like go with a little bit more of his vernacular. Like this one's kind of tame in terms of like big words, you know?
Yeah.
So I kind of lean John or Lance.
John or Lance. I would say of the two, because of the way I heard Brian read it, now obviously that's probably a mistake on my part because you can't hear tone, but I would think if it's going to be a little less, I'm thinking on the delivery it'd be Lance.
Shouldn't you be able to hear tone?
No, because he's not saying it like they said it. He's just
their
reading
tone,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that. Let's go with that. Let's go with Lance Zierlein.
Yeah, Sonny is
a boy.
But
yeah.
I think women's rights.
Yeah.
He's a staunch yeah. Yeah. Women's rights.
We and brother-in-lawed think, that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we did. Like to death.
Right.
Oh, we got it.
No, that was good. That was good reasoning there. I was hoping to get you on Paul, but Jeremy,
yeah,
you were right. The vocabulary was not Paul. You were right. Yeah. All right, number two. Whatever British people call their prisons, do they even have prisons? I never hear about British prisons. It's probably called, like, we're going to send you to the lolly. They probably call it the lolly or something like that.
I thought it was Joe until the lolly part.
And now
I think
it's
Joe
either
knows what a lolly is.
I think it's Paul or it's Lance again.
I gotta think it's Paul. Like, how many people know what a lolly is? Paul.
And how many people would try to make the, probably did the voice with the lolly?
Yeah,
you mean
but
the British
maybe that's
accent?
Yes. Trying to throw us off the scent. You know what I mean?
No, I could see Lance doing trying to do the British accent too, because Lance is always trying to do accents.
Yeah, the not knowing there's prisons there kind of throws me off a bit.
That makes me bring Granato into the conversation.
You would know there's prisons there, right?
No, I don't think he ever feared going to jail there.
You want it again?
Yeah.
Whatever British people call their prisons, do they even have prisons? I never hear about British prisons. It's probably called, like, we're going to send you to the lolly. They probably call it the lolly or something like that.
Now, that's tone you can hear.
I wonder why he did the tone, though. That's interesting to me.
Yeah, that's a good question. Because he didn't do it for the first one. I'm feeling.
What, the British accent?
Yeah.
I tried to do it on both. It was probably very bad.
No, you didn't do the read like the announcer, like the talent would have in the first read. Paul on this one, Jeremy. I don't know what you're feeling.
The something like that kind of made me want to go Granato. But I would feel bad if we. Because Paul was my initial guess. Like, this feels Paul-y to me. But
so
does
think
Paul
he's
know
trying
their
to
prisons?
Steer us.
Do you think Paul knows there's prisons there? Because, like, he goes. He's been there, hasn't he?
Oh, wait a minute. When I walked in today and when I sat down, Paul and George were having, a conversation where it finished, and Joe said to Paul, how many countries have you been to?
Yeah, I think that Paul's been to, like, Europe a lot.
Oh, he's been to, like, I think he rattled off, like, 11 countries.
So does that make you want to say Paul?
To me, yes.
Okay, let's just go.
But maybe it's between those two. I don't know. But I don't think George is the guy. Believe me, I think Joe's the guy that doesn't know if they have prison.
He's not turning around audio today that was used earlier today.
Okay.
Though.
Okay.
We still go.
He's done
it
before.
From today. I don't think while he's on remote running the board. But like it could still be Paul. I think it could be John.
Call it. Which one you want?
Let's go Paul Gallant.
Whatever British people call their prisons.
It was Lance back
then. Do
okay.
they even have
Dang
prisons?
It.
But I never hear about British prisons.
Yeah, that was your first gut.
It's probably called
yep.
like.
Oh, yes, it was.
Dang, okay.
Because he loves doing accents. He loves doing accents. He just always loves doing accents.
You guys got on the accent thing. Like, I was like, oh, crap, I gave it away. Because you're right. Lance loves to do accents.
Doggone it.
Dang.
You're almost there. You're almost there.
Ugh. Okay, three.
All right, quote number three. This one a little bit shorter. It's true. It's on TikTok. It's real. That's why the government is trying to ban it, because it's the truth.
This one sounds like a Joe one.
Yeah, I was either Joe or Paul on this. And Joe's got to be the guy that's all over TikTok.
Why is that?
Sorry, I'm just laughing. Joel's trying to read my face again.
Because he's just so, I mean, look, he's all over social media all the time, monitoring things, reposting things. I think Joe's really dialed into all that.
I think Paul's probably more of a TikTok guy than Joe, but I think this is Joe's quote. Like, Joe knows the existence of TikTok.
He's also
could be Dell.
Brian has to struggle to try and find a way to use him. I think you're right. Say it one more time, B-Mac, because I think Dell might be in this.
That was actually quite mean there for Joe. All right. It's true. It's on TikTok. It's real. That's why the government is trying to ban it, because it's the truth.
Ooh, I think that could be Dell.
Yeah, those are the two. It's Dell or Joe, I think.
Yeah, I really, the way he read it, I felt I felt that it was Dell over Joe.
Now, Joe's quick to go to, like, conspiracies and act like they're 100% facts.
Okay.
The government angle, I don't know, man. Joe's a little bit more conspiracy like that. I think the
government angle throws Joe out.
Really? Why?
I don't know that he's dialed into that. To know the country's trying to ban.
Oh, everybody knows the country's trying to ban TikTok.
I think he's
more dialed in than you think.
All right.
What do you call it, Joe or Dale?
No. I don't know, man. I'm going to say Dale.
All right, let's do it, Dale.
It's true. It's on TikTok. It's real.
You got to get off TikTok.
That's why the government's trying to ban it. Because
dang it.
It's true.
Yeah, I had a pretty good feeling on that one.
Oh,
Jeremy had me worried. Joe loves conspiracies.
Yeah, he loves conspiracies.
Like, he loves conspiracies.
I read that one well. Oh, well. Oh, let's get the next two.
All right, two more. Quote number four. Hannah McNair, we've got more Cougars to talk about. Well, that's phrasing. I meant the Houston Cougars. I should have paused. I'm not calling Hannah McNair a Cougar.
Paulie would.
It's either Paul or Dell. Like, that's a little bit more hip lingo.
Yep.
So I think it's Paul or Dell.
Well, Cougars
Paul
pretty
talks
standard,
about
didn't?
The Cougars. Yeah, but he said pause. And what? Read it again. He said pause.
Sure. You want it again?
Yeah.
Hannah McNair, we've got more Cougars to talk about. Well, that's phrasing. I meant the Houston Cougars. I should have paused. I'm not calling Hannah McNair a Cougar.
Yeah. The phrasing and the pause are like, that's why it's Paul or Dell.
I think you're right.
A little bit younger lingo.
I was wrong on the last one. It sounds like Dell to me.
Yeah, I think it's I wish I could know the speed that they said this, because I could see both of them saying it in their cadences, where, like, Dell's a little bit more relaxed and slower, mm-hmm. and Paul's, like, hyperactive and says it very fast. I could see both of them saying this. Can you read it one more time, please?
Sure. Hannah McNair, we've got more Cougars to talk about. Well, that's phrasing. I meant the Houston Cougars. I should have paused. I'm not calling Hannah McNair a Cougar.
Now, Paul talks about the Cougars more than Dell.
Yeah, but they're pretty relevant. One of the top stories in the city. Everybody's talking.
You want to go Dell?
I feel like it's Dell.
Okay. Dell Olalea.
Hannah McNair. We've
Attaboy.
Got more Cougars
Attaboy.
To talk about.
Yes!
That's phrasing.
Attaboy.
Bounced back. I was going to kick myself all weekend if I let us down the wrong road.
Yeah, that would have been a tough back-to-back where you're 50-50 went the wrong way had you gone with Paul.
Yeah, we got one.
So it's 2-2.
But I had Lance back-to-back.
One of the two coin flips, all we need. Let's get this one right.
2-2. Yep, this is the rubber match. Here we go. Quote number five. I found that out this morning because Zesty is just another way to call someone something without getting canceled. We're just going to call them Zesty.
Okay.
So I know this is – okay, I know it's the bench. It is the bench, so it's between John and Lance. So you got your 50-50 shot. Because
how do you know it's the bench? They said this morning.
Oh, because I heard it. I heard it, and I heard the explanation and the three guys chiming in on how Zesty is a term and why it's a term and how it's used and everything about it. So Dell is out if he's in his producer role, correct?
Right.
So this is just
– no producers can be used.
Yeah. So I believe wholeheartedly this is between the two of them.
Well, he's used Lance twice. I don't think he would use Lance a third time, but he's capable. But I would factor that into the equation. I'm glad that you heard it, because I would have eliminated every single morning host, because it says I learned this morning. Now, of course, they can learn early in the morning. But you sure you heard this?
Now, I heard them definitely dissecting the term Zesty.
All right, one more time,
and
Brian.
I found that out this morning because Zesty is just another way to call someone something without getting canceled. We're just going to call them Zesty.
So I heard, I don't know if it was this morning or not, I heard the bench talking about this.
I think it would be John.
I know Lance knew what Zesty was. Lance was the one doing a lot of the explaining because he's got kids and stuff too. And Dell was backing him on what Zesty meant.
I've never heard Zesty. I don't know what that means. So, the quote sounds like somebody who's learning what Zesty means, I think. Brian, can you...
If that's the case, then it would be John.
Can you say it again?
Sure. I found that out this morning because Zesty is just another way to call someone something without getting canceled. We're just going to call them Zesty.
I think it would be John here. If it's one of those two, I think it's John.
Well, here's the kicker, Jeremy, that I just thought of, though. If someone else on our station was listening to the bench, then they learned what Zesty meant.
Yeah, but if it was this morning, that's too quick to turn around.
No, but I think it happened yesterday morning. I think I heard it yesterday morning.
Somebody
that's why I think
they learned it from
yeah.
the bench.
Maybe it was Joe or Paul driving in.
That would go to my thing because it sounds very much like it's an afternoon person talking about what's happening in the morning. I think
that's why I
want
to throw that in there to think about. I don't want to lead us off the path because the one thing I know for sure is I've heard the bench discuss John and Lance, whatever you call the show now. I've heard them discussing this.
So what do you want to do? You want to go with John or you want to reevaluate and go with one of the afternoon guys?
So we know if we go bench, it's John.
If you're thinking
it's an afternoon guy, Joe would be listening because he's listening to everything, especially when he's driving in. Would Paul be listening? Dell already knows it. I think Dell would already know the term.
Yeah, especially if they were talking about it on the bench. I think Paul would. I think it's John. Let's go with the you know you heard it there. So since we know you heard it there, let's just stick there. Because we don't know that.
And we know that of the two, the one who knew what it was Lance, and the one who learned about it was John.
I think we go with John here. I think the one that we would be least upset with if we got it wrong here is Granato. So let's go. You want to go with Granato?
Yep.
Yeah, let's go with John Granato.
I found that out this morning because Zesty is just another way to call someone something without getting canceled. We're just going to call him Zesty.
I hate you, Brian.
He said earlier in the show, I can't believe Dell didn't know it. It was the
very start of Dell's show talking about what he'd heard that morning on the bench.
Oh my God, I hate you.
As soon as you chimed in, because you won it last week based upon
hearing
the exact quote, but this time it led you down the wrong path.
Oh, I hate
that.
That was well done.
I have to actually applaud that.
Yeah, it was. It was well played, and that's why I hate it.
We lost.
I wasn't going to celebrate because I wanted to throw the scenarios out there. I knew the three guys involved.
You were on the right path, but yeah.
Tremac's roots just getting stronger and stronger as we go.
Yeah.
Is Nick Caserio being short-sighted in this hard cap on player offers, this Titus Howard restructure? What does it mean? 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Killer Bees live from Rose Hill Beer Garden in Cypress. It's Friday. You ain't got no job. Well, it's because it's a holiday. You're not working because it's a holiday. Certainly, you have a job. And you might have spent today getting your yard ready for the weekend. Of course, Easter coming up on Sunday. You probably didn't want to do that. You're like, it's my one day off. I just want to go out and play some golf, or I want to sleep in, or I want to be lazy today. Well, you could do that if you had a lawn from Sin Lawn. You don't have to worry about wasting your time dealing with your yard, mowing the grass, pulling the weeds, all these things you just don't want to do. Well, stop doing them and get Sin Lawn in your life and get weekends back in your life. Sin Lawn, the evolution story of the AstroTurf that was made popular by the Dome, and now Sin Lawn, S-Y-N Lawn, well, they want to improve your lifestyle. They want you to play more golf. They want you to rest and relax more. They want you to spend less time doing the stuff you don't want to do. Stop mowing. Stop pulling weeds. Stop throwing money into an ugly yard that you're embarrassed of people seeing. You probably thought, you know, let's host Easter this year. Let's invite the parents. Let's invite the in-laws. Let's invite the family over this season. We'll host Easter, and we'll be the good host. Well, then you looked outside, you saw your lawn, you said, hey, maybe not, because you're embarrassed of people seeing your lawn. Don't let that happen anymore with Sin Lawn. It's Sin Lawn artificial grass, the best on the market. They offer a lifetime warranty, so you'll have that guaranteed to last forever. You'll have that assurance in mind. Products that are made in the USA, the quality is top shelf too, so you never have to worry about that. The people you'll be working with along the way are fantastic, elite. You'll love them. Sin Lawn's fully insured. It's fully bonded. They have their own in-house crews. They don't contract anything out. We've all had projects done where they contract people out. We know how big of a nightmare that can be. Well, not with Sin Lawn. Sin Lawn's number one priority is making their customers happy all along the process. Sin Lawn's the perfect yard for your patio. They're the perfect yard for your kids' playground. They're the perfect yard for your pets so they stop bringing mud inside the house, which is a huge headache. Or if you're looking to work on your short game, how about a putting green in the backyard? Head to 975sinlawn.com to learn more. That's 975sinlawn.com to get started on the yard of your dreams. Get your weekend back and stop doing the things you don't want to do. Sin Lawn, control the process from yarn to yard.
You're listening.
listening to the Killer Bees, broadcasting from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Rose Hill Beer Garden in Cypress. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Rose Hill Beer Garden in Cypress, perfect spot to have a beer, perfect spot to enjoy some tasty eats. 8 local food trucks, it's all family friendly. Local craft vendors. Eddie, the owner, opened in 2018. To promote the community, safe, chill place for families. Eddie, former NFL player, went to Arkansas and was a Food Network superstar. He out-chefed Christmas Cookie Challenge, Yum and Yummer, Game Day Eats. It's probably where you've heard of Eddie from, the Food Network superstar. Great spot, Rose Hill Beer Garden in Cypress. Eddie Jackson, thank him for having us out to... Great spot. I've seen the pictures. It looks fantastic. I can't wait to be there, hang out there.
Dude,
looks like it's a good
spot.
It is
so cool, Jeremy. Like, I look back, and Eddie, they have the billboards all over and the posters of Eddie and you know, and all the things he's got going. But he's got the food truck with the amazing burgers. BMAC had one. And then you look back, and it is so family-friendly because there's dogs and kids and a play area and all these things. And you look out in this area where they have all this live music and great concerts. They have a barbershop. You can go get your haircut here, then listen to music, then grab great food at all these different food trucks. He's got a taco truck that's his and a burger truck that's his. There's other food trucks. And, like, it literally is a family experience that everybody can enjoy, including bringing the dogs. And you can get your hair cut, and you can get some good music in. It's awesome.
One-stop shop. You can't beat that. Can't beat a one-stop shop. Did I have told you that I go to the same barber as Robert Griffin III?
I think you might have mentioned it once, but does Robert Griffin III still use that barber?
Yeah, why wouldn't he use that barber?
Because I thought he moved. I didn't think he lived in
last
Texas
I heard
anymore.
He lives in Houston. You know, I think he lives in Houston. Yeah, I think he lives up my way. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. So the Texans today restructured the contract of Tytus Howard. I sent out a tweet thanking Tytus Howard for being a selfless player,
saw
which
that.
I do think he is selfless. You know, he's somebody who he's been willing to play wherever he's been asked to play on the offensive line, even when it's to his detriment. So I give credit for Tytus Howard to say yes, to be a team guy, because a lot of guys wouldn't do that. Hey, I'm not left guard. I'm only playing right tackle, which is actually what his Twitter bio says now. But he's always been willing to do what the team has asked, which I credit him for that. Today I did learn, though, I didn't realize that a team could restructure a contract if you don't add years or take years away without players' consent. I had no idea about that whatsoever. I learned that today. I'm not sure if that was the case with Tytus Howard, but a team can restructure a deal without the players' consent because they get the money up front.
So you just blew my mind just with that.
Yeah.
So you're saying...
My mind was blown
earlier. Because... The one thing that was I thought was unique was when I found out that Aaron Jones' clause in his contract with the Packers was the team could restructure his deal, or and they could change it without his consent. But I thought that was a clause in the contract that was very specific.
I think it's just like it's one that's always put into deals now. Like it's just standard operating procedure. Like the team just put that in the contract no matter what. So like yeah, you're right. But that stuff is happening on all of these contracts. We just don't really know it. Yeah, but
so I mean, essentially,
it's friendly,
the player
it's friendly
benefits
for the player, though.
Yeah,
because
he gets
he gets the money up front. It turns it into a signing bonus, so it's better on the cap. The player gets it up front. Who's going to say no to the upfront money? So it's that's why it's like that. Because we can restructure whatever we want, but you're actually benefiting from this, so it doesn't really matter.
This is like the Mark Cuban rule that had to be in play in the NBA, where when he was looking for every advantage to get guys to play for the Mavs, he had all the money in the world. He made sure when he was going to sign a free agent, the difference maker was, I'll give you all the guaranteed money up front so you can invest it the next day and make money on that money on a bigger dollar figure, and therefore by the end of the contract you make more.
Yeah.
So I guess if you're the player, it benefits you for sure.
Well, it's always better to have the money up front, right?
Sure.
You know, like, give me the money now as opposed to having it deferred for the next 3 years, unless you're Shohei Ohtani, but you're betting all that money anyways.
Right.
I think that he had that money deferred so he couldn't gamble it. I'm kidding. Don't sue me.
Yeah.
So anyways, the restructure of Tytus Howard's contract, it creates $10.3 million in cap space, according to Phil Yates. We were talking a little bit about, well, you could have come up with $3.5 million more and got Saquon Barkley, blah, 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 blah. But with this 10.3, they redid Shaq's. They still have cap space. You have any guesses on what could be brewing for the Houston Texans?
To me, it's I guess I would say three. I was going to say two, but it's one of three positions, not players. It's wide receiver. It's a like you've been a one technique defensive lineman, or it's a corner. And I think that they've already spent a lot on corner to where the only thing that I can see is I think they feel like there's value with corners and the depth of the corners in the draft, where maybe I eliminate corner and I would say that this is either a receiver or this is a defensive tackle.
Yeah, I think it's actually a total guess here because we're totally guessing. We have no idea what they're going to do with this money. I think it's going to be the Nico Collins extension. So technically you'd be right, correct, it's a receiver, but it's not really an addition to this team. I think he's kind of opening up some finances to redo the Nico Collins deal. It begs the question, is Caserio being short-sighted in his hard cap on player offers like Saquon, like the Sheldon Rankins deal where he was outbid by $1 million? I don't love that frugality from Caserio. And it's not because they're cheap. It's because he's trying to get the most for his dollar, and he feels like he can spread it around a little bit more. I kind of want to give Caserio the benefit of the doubt and just wait and see how the rest of the offseason goes first. Let's see how the entirety of the offseason goes and where they're at when training camp begins, as opposed to pounding my fist on the table. Well, you should have done this for Saquon Barkley. Well, you should have done this for player A, B, C. Let's see the totality of the offseason is where I'm at before we go nuts on Caserio being short-sighted in this little line in the sand on some of these players' offers. Yes, I would have rather had Saquon than Joe Mixon. Yes, I would have given $1 million more for Sheldon Rankins to still be on this football team. I probably wouldn't have traded Malik Collins. But I do want to see the full offseason before I'm too harsh about individual things when it comes to Caserio and how they're doing this offseason.
Yeah, I'm with you in the fact that when we had the initial conversation of replacing up to 10 starters, the best case scenario is the first day of free agency. Let's not lose our mind one way or another until we see how it all plays out. I respect the fact that he has a very firm grasp on the bottom line and on money and on being able to do the things a general manager has to do in today's NFL to kind of get creative, to open up cap space or do what you need to do, whoever the players are you're looking at. I think, like you, there was some concerns when I liked both the defensive tackles last year. I would have liked to have kept at least one of them. I didn't care which one they kept. To get rid of both of them and not have an immediate definitive answer worries me a little bit. But now I've gained enough respect back with Nick Caserio and liked what he's done so far to say, after the draft and when they get into training camp, when we look at things, if those 10 spots I feel have been filled and I'm comfortable with them, then that's when I'll say yay or nay. And if I'm not, then definitely there's things you can point to go, what were you thinking there? And are we going back to knowing your left guard is going to go down at some point and not having an insurance policy that drove me nuts last year?
If you're saving a few million in cap space from Shaq, you're saving $10 million with Titus, which is a lot. With Titus Howard, you're not cutting Robert Woods. All of these things, I'm expecting something down the pike, and I'm willing to wait and see what it's like. But if you go into the into camp and you created all this cap space and you're $20 to $25 million with cap space left, that's something I'll have a problem with. I just don't think that's going to happen, which is why I'm willing to be patient with Caserio. I think though, Blankers, I think there's a chance that one of the defensive tackles is already on this team. I think there's a real chance that Foley or Tim Settle, or if it's a platoon between the two, that they occupy the one tech defensive tackle for this team.
I think I hate to say that. I agree with not. I don't mind agreeing with you. I hate
right,
to think
right,
that that's. Yeah, I hate to think that that's the answer. Now, my buddy's a Bills fan, watches every down of every Bills game. He's like, Settle can be really good against the run. He's situational more than he's every down, but he can be really good against the run. Okay, but
that's good.
I hope that's not the case. I hope that there's another answer or two. And the other thing I was going to remind you when you said that, and you were talking about that and leaving money on the board, he keeps saying it happens in two-year increments. You don't have to spend it all in 1 year.
Yeah.
If you leave $25 million in your bank account knowing this team is getting closer to being competing for the title, and you leave $25 million on the board, even if you have a good excuse, I'm not going to be happy.
Yeah, I don't see that happening because you're not doing these restructures unless you're going to go out there and do something. It doesn't make sense to do the first step and then not follow through with the second step. So willing to wait, but let's see it play out. Let's see some action.
Don't get me wrong. The minute I saw the moves today, I'm like, oh, they're going to do something else. He's got someone he's going to go get. Now you bring up Nico Collins. That's not the move that I'm thinking of. That's not the move that I would be excited about that I'm thinking, that's great. You know the number thing more than me. But even if you extend Nico Collins, his contract for this year is what it is, right?
Yeah, I think you can kind of structure it in certain ways, but I really don't want them to tear up this year's deal. Like, this year's deal is really affordable. So, yeah, it's a...
That's what I was getting at. So then I want that money targeted towards bringing in someone else that takes another one of those starting jobs off the board and says we're better than we were a year ago.
King Brown on YouTube, he says Derek Brown from the Panthers. That would be a defensive lineman that would move the needle. That guy's a stud. Now, it would require a lot in trade capital, and then it would also require some financial capital. And I'm not sure that Nick Caserio is that guy, but Derek Brown would be a pipe dream for this team. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. D'Amico Ryans, where should he be ranked amongst his peers in the NFL when it comes to that head coach spot? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. It's time, basketball bettors. It's March Mania. Brad, I'm here to tell you about BetUS.com. I endorse one sportsbook and casino, and that's BetUS.com. They've been driving to the basket for over 30 years, three decades. This year, BetUS has an epic three-pointer, a 125% sign-up bonus in your first three deposits, not one, not two, but three. That's right, the industry's craziest 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits, plus 10% gambler's insurance, and there's even more. BetUS accepts crypto and is offering a massive 200% crypto sign-up bonus. Gambler's insurance and crypto. You don't see that everywhere. March Mania basketball can get even more exciting with their live in-game betting. It's also a blast to check out their casino after the game, where you can get a 250% casino bonus. Get started by visiting BetUS.com or just call them 1-800-MY-BETUS to learn all about their bonuses and special offers. BetUS, where the game begins.